How many?
18.
18. Okay, so let's hear your questions.
Yes, I wanted to ask questions.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I have been reading your teaching online, and one interesting thing about it is about the citta and the consciousness. I read in the Pali Canon that the Buddha described that the citta, consciousness, and the mind is the same thing, but Luangda Mahabua described the mind and described the citta and the consciousness as different things. So, according to Luangda Mahabua, what is or your interpretation? What is the different? What are the differences between the citta and the consciousness? Thank you.
You do know, if you read the suttas, you do know that the Lord Buddha talks about five khandhas.
Yes.
And what are these five khandhas? Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhan, Vinyan. And Vinyan is consciousness. So how can be the citta and the consciousness be one and the same thing? You understand my question?
I think so.
Huh?
Can you repeat? Sorry, pardon. what is your question? You asked whether they are the same thing.
I asked you, yeah? The citta is a Pali word, yeah? Vinyan, consciousness, is also a Pali word, and they don't mean the same thing. I mean, sometimes in the translation, lots of people, you know, get that confused, yeah? The citta, within the citta are the five khandhas. And the five khandhas is rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhan, vinyan. And vinyan is consciousness, yeah? So, I mean, if you're good at practice, you can see the consciousness arise and cease, but the citta does not arise and cease. So how can they be the same thing?
Because in my opinion, I think the citta equals to consciousness, and citta and consciousness, like they are impermanent and arise and cease.
No, consciousness is not permanent. Consciousness is not permanent because it can arise and cease. Yeah. Because it's within the five khandhas, and the five khandhas are anicca, anatta, dukkha. You understand?
Yeah.
So how do you translate vinyan? How do you translate vinyana? It is the fifth khanda.
Consciousness.
Uh-huh. So we know that the five khandhas are impermanent. So how can you state then, you know, that consciousness is permanent?
So I say that they are at the... what is the difference between the consciousness and citta? Because if consciousness is the knowing, and the citta is also the knowing, then what are the differences?
No, consciousness is not knowing. It's not the same. The citta knows that consciousness arises, and the citta knows that consciousness ceases. Consciousness is, you know, something coming into our sense contact. Yeah? So as long as there is the world, you know, as long as there is this universe, you know, I mean, there is sense contact, yeah? And consciousness is sense contact, yeah? And then the memory decides, you know, what kind of senses is triggered, yeah? And this can disappear, this consciousness can disappear, but the knowingness does not disappear. Understood?
Well, can I say that, can I interpret that citta is the mind consciousness?
No. Don't confuse it. Within the citta, everything is there. Within the citta, there is greed, hatred, delusion, you know, the arising of anicca, anatta, dukkha, yeah? But there is a pure citta and there's a defiled citta, you know, that the citta that we constantly have, yeah? But the pure citta of the arahant, you know, there is no anicca, anatta, dukkha anymore, except for the five khandhas that are still alive. But once he's in nibbana, there are no more five khandhas. Don't try to understand this.
Just
you know,
the citta, right?
Huh? And don't confuse it. You know, I know a lot of people think, you know, I mean, consciousness is that, yeah? But if you have the experience, you know, that consciousness can disappear and appear, yeah? Then you know it is not the citta. It's not the knowingness.
Okay. So, if arahant dies, will the citta remain? The knowingness?
The knowingness remains, yes, the pure citta. It knows, I mean, in the pure citta, there is no future, there is no past, there is no, you know, I mean, there is no anicca, anatta, and dukkha, yeah? But there is this pure knowingness, yeah? Lungta described it as kwam lu lun lun, you know, the pure knowingness. Yeah? Not the defiled knowingness that we know. I mean, we know when we see something, we know something, but it is defiled by the kilesas, because, I mean, we see something and then there's an attribute towards what we see, yeah? I mean, sati is coming the closest to the pure knowingness, but it is not the same as the pure knowingness, because sati also disappears in nibbana, yeah? Dhamma disappears in nibbana. There's nothing, yeah?
So, for example, the Buddha which appeared 2,500 years ago, his citta is still here, right?
Yes.
The citta remains.
Yeah. The citta of all the arahants.
So,
that's why the Lord Buddha, you know, appeared in front of, you know, Lumpuman.
I know some for this phenomenon. I also noticed this phenomenon in some Taoist friends. They are not Buddhist, but they some of them can see Buddha. But the Buddha they describe is different from what we see in the Pali Canon. Like some of my Taoist friends, they see the Buddha which can help, they chant the Buddha chants something and help the devotee to give them good luck. The Buddha they see they give them like magical power. So I'm like confused.
That is not the Buddha. I mean the Buddha doesn't appear, you know. I mean why did he appear in front of Lumpuman? Because Lumpuman, you know, was on the way to Buddhahood. Yeah. And that was the only reason why he appeared in front of them. Yeah. What appears, I don't know, maybe demons, maybe ghosts, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe gods, you know, devas, you know, there are lots of devas who can appear, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha never gives anybody magical powers. I mean, this is, I don't want to talk about this, yeah, please, yeah. Let, whatever people want to believe, let them believe it, yeah. But don't be concerned. You are concerned, you know, to get your mind calm to one-pointedness, yeah? If you get your mind to one-pointedness, then you know, yeah? Don't get confused by what other people say, yeah? And you cannot convince them otherwise either, yeah?
So the citta of past arahants, they all remains here. And how do this citta exist in what form, or how can we interpret, or try to understand it.
Why do you want to understand it? There's no use of you understanding. Go there, yeah. Go into Nibbana, you know, become an arahant, and then you know. Yeah. Why do you want to know? Where does it exist? Yeah? It doesn't really matter. You have to practice. That is, you know, you have to practice the path of Sila, Samadhi, Panya to get there. And once you get there, you know. You know for yourself, yeah? I mean, it's the same thing, you know, people say, you know, talk about an island that is full of gold, yeah? Yeah? Where is this island? You know, I don't know, nobody knows, you know? But some people, you know, go there and don't come back from it, yeah? What's the purpose, yeah? You know the path that leads to there. And that is the important thing. And that's what the Lord Buddha teaches.
Okay, and that's good. Another question is about the practice. So, in your past teaching, you taught us that usually we will develop samadhi using buddho or anapanasati. And then after developing samadhi, we can change to vipassana, like by thinking the anicca, dukkha, anatta, or the lovelessness of the body or mind. Something like that. And so, can I directly use oneself repeating like citta, vinya, anatta, vinya, anatta, keep reciting this in my mind. So, at the same time, by doing this, I am developing samadhi, but at the same time developing vipassana. Can I do that?
No. Samatha is samatha, vipassana is vipassana. When we sit down and sit in samadhi, yeah, there's only one thing, yeah, that we can investigate, and that is pain. Everything else we should not. Yeah? And we should not recite, you know, vinyan, anicca, anatta, or dukkha, you know. No. We stay with the Buddha, or we stay with the breath. Know that the breath is detailed, know that the breath is rough, know that it is in-breath or out-breath, or so on. Yeah? Buddha, the same thing. Otherwise, you will never get calm. If you don't get calm, it's like you are blind. Yeah? Because all what you see is your thoughts and your memories what you see. Yeah? You don't really see. Yeah? Once the mind is completely calm, is free of thoughts and free of memories, then you can see things as they really are. And that's why we need to use the samatha, you know, to do investigation. Because then we direct our object is one of the objects of the 32 parts of the body. Yeah? What you can do, yeah? I mean, if you don't have enough samadhi, is when you come out of samatha, think about your life, think about being born, think about, you know, learning to walk, think about learning, you know, learning to talk, think about, you know, going to school, you know, getting older, and so on. This you can think about it, yeah? Or you can, you know, you can go through your day like what I normally teach, you know, the daily reflection, and see how the things are anicca, anatta, and dukkha. This you can do. Yeah. But for vipassana, that is the first stage, you know, it is very, we don't need a lot of samadhi. But when we have samadhi, we do investigate the body. Yeah. And then we focus on one of the parts, yeah, be it the body as a whole, or be it one of the parts of the body, because we want to see through, we want to see the real thing. You understand? Don't mix it up, because then you neither get anything. Yeah? A lot of people, you know, mix it up, yeah? And they think, you know, once it is calm, you know, then suddenly they see an image, then they go into image, you know, and then they neither get calm, nor do they get any vipassana. Vipassana is asking questions, yeah? It's not just reciting things. Yeah? It's asking questions. What is pain, you know? What is the nature of this body, you know? Where is the pain, yeah? You understand?
Can you elaborate more on the question that what is pain? Yeah, you just mentioned the question that you just mentioned.
Yeah, when you sit in samadhi and there's pain, so much pain that you want to get up, then you start to investigate pain. You go to the point of pain, you know, and investigate what is pain. First, the question is to, you have to accept pain. And then you ask, you know, where exactly is the pain? Yeah, is it concept? And you can use anicca, anatta, yeah, in this way. Yeah, is the pain concept? And then you look at the pain and you see it is not concept. Sometimes it's stronger, then sometimes it's weaker. Then you ask, you know, where exactly is the pain? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? You know, is it in the bones? Yeah? You want to find out where the pain is, where the pain is coming from.
Okay. I heard from the biography of Shaman Wanamabwa and Ajahn Khao that by contemplating the pain, they can enter the jhana. Right? Is that correct?
They can enter samadhi.
Okay. By just reflecting.
I don't hear you.
What? I mean, reflecting on the pain or investigating the pain, one can enter into samadhi or jhana. Because I see this in the teaching of Ajahn Khao, Wanamabwa, and Ajahn Mun's biography.
I mean, that is a wrong translation. Ajahn Lungta Mahabua never talked about the jhanas. They all talk about samadhi. Yeah? The jhanas is different. Everybody wants the jhanas. Nobody can do it. Yeah? Especially Westerners cannot do it. Yeah? I mean, some of the Thais can do it. Yeah? Lumpu Thet, yeah? He was famous for doing the jhanas. Yeah? Lumpu Sao was famous for doing the jhanas. But not Lumpu Man. Yeah? And not Lungta Mahabua. They knew them. Yeah? Of course they knew them. Yeah? But they never taught them. And they never said, you know, through investigation of pain, you know, you can reach the jhanas. No. You can reach samadhi. Through any kind of investigation, yeah, you can reach samadhi. Yeah? If your investigation is deep enough, it happens, you know, that you fall in a very deep state. Most of the time it is apana samadhi. Yeah? Okay?
Okay. So, okay, thank you.
You think too much. Practice.
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. Yeah, so what is your question?
Not so good?
No, I'm okay.
I had a question because last month, I went to a 10-day retreat in the Netherlands of Essen Goenka. I'm not sure if you...
Yeah, I know him.
And the experience was good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But some things he said seemed to be a bit different than what you say, so I had some questions about that.
Okay.
First thing was, for example, using the Budo as a method for concentration. He doesn't recommend it, like he says it helps for concentration, it does, but it is something imaginary and we should work with something which is real, like just focus on the breath because it is there, and the Budo you put inside your mind and it's sectarian, sort of, so he doesn't recommend to do that. So I just wondering.
It's the first time. It's actually the first time I hear it. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, of course, it's good for concentration and for people who think a lot. Yeah, I mean, Lumpu Man, you know, taught it. You know, and I do trust Lumpu Man much more than Goenka. You know, Nupuman was an arahant, Goenka is not an arahant, yeah, so, no, it is very helpful for people, especially people who think a lot, you know, using in the beginning Buddha, yeah. Because in the beginning, using the breath, it is much more difficult, yeah. The breath easily disappears, you know, and we don't notice it, yeah. But the Buddha, when it is not there, we notice it much quicker, yeah. So, it's much better. You can use put with breathing in and do with breathing out, so then you're still, you know, on the same thing, yeah? So it's not true what he said. It's not true what he said, yeah? I mean, he has strange ideas about vipassana, yeah? That it's not, what he teaches is not vipassana. Okay, so, other questions? You had a few questions.
Yeah, the other thing was about vipassana,
what
the method that he taught. That was first we had to practice samadhi with the breath, the same thing that you teach, and then we had to step over to knowing what other sensations are happening in the nose, and then go from one part throughout all the surface of the body.
Yeah.
Actually inside, but well, first there were a lot of blind spots because I just don't really feel anything at most of the places, and sometimes there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
But I just wondering, what do you think about that method?
I find it very helpful. I did it myself, you know. I mean, at the time, I think Ayakema, you know, taught it, you know. So I used it, you know. It's getting in touch with your body, yeah. But it is not vipassana, yeah. Mm-hmm. Feeling. I mean, most of the Westerners don't even know that they have a body, yeah. Only if the body is sick, you know, or if the body doesn't work, then they know, oh, I have a body, yeah. And when they sit in samadhi and pain comes up, then they know they have a body. Otherwise they don't, you know, they use the body constantly, but they don't really know that they have a body. So this method is actually very good, you know, to get in touch with the body, yeah, to feel the body at every part, yeah. And the other part that is good about this method is, then you feel the tensions, yeah. And when you feel a tension at one of the spots, you know, I mean, you can relax it, yeah. So that is very helpful, but it has nothing to do with vipassana. Vipassana is asking questions, yeah? What is pain? Where is pain, yeah?
Yeah, because eventually, we had to sit for quite a long time, at least for me it's a long time. And, of course, I get a lot of pain everywhere, especially in my legs.
Mm.
And what you talk about, like where is the pain? It's a bit hard for me to say. I can't really locate it. I see it switching a bit,
okay.
Or see that it changes from spot to spot, like super quickly it seems to be, but I can't really. See exactly where it is, but when we were very busy with the sensations and what it feels like, I started to ask, like, what does pain feels like, and then there were some things like I see a lot of there's a lot of heat, which is getting hotter and getting colder and hotter and colder.
You're
trembling, and those sensations I can't see it.
But
I just wonder, is that the right thing?
It is okay, but it is at a certain location. It's either in the knee or it is in the upper leg, you know. I mean, that is the location, you know, and that's where you concentrate on, yeah.
Mm.
And then look, you know, where actually is it? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendon? Don't assume anything, yeah. You just want to know. You just ask the question. Yeah? And if you're good, you know.
For the one, I can't see it.
You can't see it. Yeah, I mean, just ask the question.
Yeah. That I can,
But keep on this, keep on the location, just like you keep on the Buddha or keep on the breath, keep on this location, you know, and where you can feel the pain most strongly. Yeah? Doesn't matter if it is somewhere else, it's a little bit weaker. Where you can feel the pain most strongly, that you keep on this location. And if you ask the right questions, you know, if you go deeper, you know, and don't believe the answers that are given to you, yes, of course, because I sit uncomfortable. No, these things we leave out, yeah? The closer you come to the real cause of the pain, then the pain in this location disappears and appears in another location. So then you follow it to the other location. And then you do the same thing, yeah? You want to know, you want to understand, yeah? And then you can follow it through several locations, you know, until it shows you where it actually are coming from. Okay, it takes a while.
Okay. Yeah, because, I'm sorry, I just have a few more questions about the subject. Because when I have pain in my back, for example, the switching is very, clear to see, for me at least, it really goes from point to another point to higher to lower, not in the same spot. But for in my legs, for example, I just feel the pain in all of my leg, and sometimes I feel it a bit more there and a bit more there, but it's way more subtle to see.
Yeah.
And then it hurts. Everywhere, and I'm not sure what to do in that moment. And when I stayed with the sensations, like going at thought in that moment, it helped me to just see
that's okay.
What it really feels like, and it's just a feeling. It's mental. Mm-hmm.
That is completely okay.
How to deal with like.
The thing about pain investigation is, yeah, I mean, if you stay, you know, if it helps you, you know, to stay with the feelings, yeah, I mean, accept the feelings, yeah, because there's nothing, you know, I mean, there's somebody who knows and there's a feeling, you know, and then you see it, it's heat, you know, but the heat itself is also not constant, so you can use anicca. It becomes stronger and it becomes less, and it becomes stronger and it becomes less, yeah. But you stick to the sensation, you know, you accept it, yeah? And you ask the question. Don't expect any answers yet, you know? I mean, ask the question, where is it? You know, I mean, really want to know. You really, I mean, it is like, you know, you take a magnifying glass or an MRI, you know, and look where the pain is, yeah? That is the whole idea, yeah? And then it switches to another location. Yeah? Try it out, yeah? The thing that you talked about it is, you know, you don't accept pain because it's all over, you know, and you want to get rid of it. And if the moment we want to get rid of pain, then we cannot do any investigation. You really have to be interested in the subject, you know. You really have to dive into, yeah. And of course, you know, I mean, you're pregnant, you have lots of pain, yeah. So, I mean, that is real pain, yeah.
Hello, Tanajan. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Hope you've been well. So I was originally wanting to delay my question until I entered into Apana Samadhi, but that might take longer than I originally expected. And you might be leaving soon. I saw in your other video, so might as well ask my question now, even if it's not fully what I want it to be.
Okay.
So the last time we talked, you were telling me, you know, I have a strength of investigation, but I can't really use that to the full extent because my samadhi isn't as developed as it should be. You know, there's an unequal balance.
Okay.
So I've been trying to focus more on samadhi. It's a bit difficult because I like to investigate. and very often I do enter into samadhi through investigation.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. It's probably one of my best ways to get into samadhi, honestly. So firstly, if I notice that I can enter into samadhi through investigation, should I still
do pure samadhi because that's developing the skill more directly of samadhi, or should I use my affinity for samadhi through investigation?
You can use it, but I mean, what is the samadhi like when you go into through investigation?
Well, the questions start out very complicated with a lot of different memories and feelings popping up, and then there's less, and then there's less, and then the question becomes more basic, like you say, you know, what is pain, what is death, what is fear? Mm. Oh, fear is a mental pain. Okay, well, what does that feel like? Well, it feels exactly like physical pain. I don't really see a distinction in between that. You know, they're coming from different, you know, and it gets more basic, and then there's just a pop, and then I enter into the samadhi, like it dissolves, and sometimes there's an image or like a vision with it, and then it just dissolves, and then usually some sort of deeper vision arises.
Yeah.
And even though it's not quite, I mean, there're not memories and feelings popping up in the sense, but even when you're in samadhi, you can still, if you're paying attention, you can still, you've talked about this before too, you can still see the khandhas in the, or not the khandhas, but yeah, it's like you said, you're in a glass house, right? So even though in the room you're in samadhi, you can still know that there are khandhas operating kind of on the outskirts, because only in apana samadhi will there be no thoughts and no memories, right?
No.
Oh, sorry.
In samadhi, there will be no thoughts and memories, yeah? But you will still have sensations, you know? I mean, when I talk about the glass house, you don't think anymore and you don't memorize, yeah? I mean, but you still feel, you have the sensations, you still have the sensation of the body, and you still know what is going on. If it is raining, you still know it's raining, and yeah, these things, you know, still are there, yeah? But there's no thoughts and there's no memory. Apana samadhi, the whole universe disappears. Okay?
Okay, right. Okay, so if there's like seconds of silence,
yeah,
and then a sensation comes and I jump to it, well, now I'm losing samadhi because I decided to jump to it.
Yes.
Right, so
you don't jump to it? Yeah. Because the sensation is so far away, that's why I said, you know, it is in front of the glass house, but you know, the glass house is what protects you. So the samadhi is what protects you from getting involved into the sensation, yeah?
So then I guess that leads to an interesting question. So I was trying to ask myself, what is a kalesa, right? I mean, it's a simple question, but it's not simple, right?
Because don't a ask kalesa it. Is not don't a ask. Don't ask.
No. It's not working yet? Okay.
You won't get an answer. What are the kilesas? The kilesas are the ones who are working in the dark. Yeah? Who bring up these sensations, who bring up memories, who bring up thoughts, who bring up images, yeah?
Yeah.
But you never see them.
No, you can't. Because they're not khandhas.
They are not khandhas. They use the khandhas. And that through investigating the khandhas, you get at the, you know, get at the kilesas who bring them up, yeah? Just like, you know, greed, when you look at, you know, the most greed, hatred, you know? When you look at them, yeah? Or likes and dislikes, you know, in most of the people's form, yeah? Likes and dislikes. You see, that's how they use, you know, the sensations, you know, to latch onto that. And that's latching onto the sensation and thinking, this is me, this is mine, this is myself. That is how they operate. Yeah? So by understanding sensation is a sensation and there's nothing, you know, I mean, just know that the sensation and we don't have to latch onto. And that feeling we get in samadhi, yeah? That's why we feel safe, yeah? Because the things don't affect us, yeah?
Yeah, you don't have the pull.
Yeah.
You don't feel that tension, like, I want to go feel that feeling, I want to...
That's right.
That's where the kalesa is. The kalesa is in the little spot between the khanda arising.
Don't think so much. Observe.
You got me. Yeah. That's why I was hesitant.
Because then, what you do is, you know, with these things, you know, I mean, you build sort of, you know, I mean, something, you know, that is not there. You build a house, you know, you try to understand. But all this understanding is the role of avijja. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's how they fool us. Especially if we really very educated, very well studied, you know, and that's how they can fool us completely. Yeah? We build a framework, you know, and then we put all these things in there. But yeah, no, that is the work of avijja. Yeah. Okay.
I need to get stupider.
Naive.
Naive. I'm being naive, or I need to be more naive?
You need to be more naive. More trusting what you see, huh? And not trying to make any sense of it.
Because the fact that I'm trying to put an explanation means I'm not believing it, because I'm adding something.
You're adding something, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Back to samadhi. No more questions. Thank you.
In that case, before I read out the questions that were submitted online. Okay. Yeah, so first question from Deepika. How to convince our parents and family for living the life of recluse, as I am single, as I am the single child to my single mom. So she says she doesn't want me to ordain because she fears who will look after her during her old age. So I get confused. How do I make the decision? Is it okay to go against our parents' permission or follow what they say?
But
shall I repeat the question?
It's not clear cut, you know this, you know, it is not so clear cut. Yes, I mean, before you ordain, you know, they will ask you if you have the permission of your parents, yeah? The permission doesn't mean that she has to agree, yeah? The permission is that you can go, yeah? And if you say, you know, I'm not going for life, you know, I might go for life or might not go for life, yeah? I mean, people go, or children go all over the world and study here and study there and are away from for years, you know. So, I mean, give me the permission to ordain temporarily, yeah? So, be a little bit smart, yeah? And this temporarily, you know, might be then 30, 40 or 50 years, or it might be only 1 year, yeah? So, whatever. Don't convince because you cannot convince. Yeah, just ask that permission. You know, I mean, I want to, you know, want to go away. I want to test it out. You know, I want to test out. You know, how is the life as a monk? You know, I mean, if the mother really cares about the son, you know, I mean, then she would let him go. Yeah, can actually say that. If you really care about me, about my health, you know, I mean, about my. Then let me go. Yeah? And that's all what she needs, yeah? You need the permission of your mother, you know, that she can let you go. Yeah? Okay, next question. These are read out questions. So yeah. We don't have any feedback, huh? That's the problem. Okay, next.
Yeah. So next one, Venerable Longpo, your guidance and encouragement is helping us to go ahead and practice. Please do not leave us. You are our everything. Your teachings have been the Achilleses very clearly, and how the Achilleses triggered us. We have learned it from you, so we are really grateful and have much gratitude for everything you do, and make us understand how to go out of the samsara.
wishing you a good health and happiness always metta. I think it's motto.
So that is actually not a question. Yeah, it's a demand. Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, when I go to Singapore, Indonesia, you know, I'm there, you know, I'm in teaching for a few days, you know, and then they squeeze and squeeze and squeeze all the juice out of the lemon, yeah? Nobody puts any juice into me, yeah? They just squeeze it out, they squeeze it out. It's just the same thing here, you know, I mean, I do need, you know, I do need something, you know, I mean, where I can revigorate, yeah. Okay, so, next question. That wasn't a question, yeah.
Yeah, next question. From Lee. Sometimes in the morning, before I open my eyes, I see visions and I saw visions and I also remembered some dreams. They seem to point out my problems or give suggestions. Should I believe in them?
No. Forget about it. These memories, you know, I mean, they are not really useful, yeah? Whenever you sit in meditation, yeah, whenever you do your samatha and visions are coming up or nimittas are coming up, they are much more useful than, you know, the dreams that you had during the night. Because these dreams, I mean, it's just like, you know, you sit there, you know, and then you think about this, think about that. It's not useful, yeah? So forget about it, you know, instantly wake up, you know, before you open your eyes, say Buddha, 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 and I mean, within no time you have forgotten the dream, unless, you know, it was a lucid dream. Yeah? These are more sticky. Okay, next question.
Okay, so this is the last question. How should I deal with toxic parents or siblings? They like to dump their emotional ways on us, but wouldn't take our suggestions to change the situation. I can't concentrate on my meditation after listening to them.
After listening to what?
To them.
After listening to them.
Put your ears on throughput. Yeah? Goes in, goes out, but it doesn't touch your heart, yeah? You have to learn to deal with it, yeah? Shrug it off, yeah? I mean, whatever they think, you know, you cannot change them. Yeah, let them think, you know, let them say the things that you say, yeah, and so on, yeah. This is the only way. And realize, you know, that, you know, if it affects you, you know, it is part of your karma, yeah. But you don't have to put on every shoe that they place in front of you. Yeah? You know what is this, yeah. I mean, I don't know, I mean, this person is not online, so I mean, it is very difficult. Huh? But most of the time, you know, just say, you know, okay. Yeah. Whatever they think, it is their thought, whatever they see, whatever they, yeah, whatever they think I should do, you know, it is their, yeah, their anticipation or their expectations, yeah. If I have to do it, you know, it is my karma, you know, if I'm affected by it, it is my karma, yeah, but what is it, yeah, I mean, do some investigation about it. And where does it affect you? It affects you in our own, you know, in our own view of self, yeah? So, correct it there, you know, and then it doesn't affect you anymore. Next question.
The question is, I'm always getting angry at misbehaving students, and I see other teachers doing the same. What can I do to be less angry when facing disruptive students? I'm asking the question as I'm a school teacher.
Yeah, that was clear. No matter if it is a school teacher or if it is a university professor, there was always, you know, and it's getting worse and worse by the day, you know, because they use all the smartphones. Eh? I mean, meditate before you go to school, yeah? And if you don't have a class, you know, I mean, then sit down, meditate, calm yourself down, yeah? And see, you know, I mean, if you teach with your heart, you won't have any trouble, yeah? You see why they are disruptive, yeah? And you know how to pull them in, yeah? If you have your plan, yeah? It's just like everybody in this world, they have their plan, you know, they don't look left, they don't look right, they just their plan, and if something doesn't go according to their plan, then they get angry. Yeah? Everybody, not only school teachers. Yeah? It's like, you know, the son is it, you know, and wants to do this, you know, and then constantly people are coming, interrupting, you get also angry. No? That's the way, you know, I mean, meditate and see, you know, and let the things happen. Huh? That is the way, let the things happen and see what you can make out of it, yeah? But for this kind of approach, you have to be present. Huh? And for a school teacher, you know, I mean, reflect after he goes back, you know, comes back from school, you know, reflect about what actually is happening, yeah? I mean, if he's not online, I mean, that's all what I can say. Next.
I remembered my question.
Okay.
When I go in samadhi and I try to focus on the breath, when it gets really subtle, because of the retreat, I think I'm doing something. You told me before, or you advised me to try to see where the in-breath turns to out-breath to stay more focused. But I get confused when I try to do that, because when I try to do that, and I get focused around the tip of my nose, I see them. I go to the sensations of everything that is happening in the nose, and I try to see when the in-breath touches mm-hmm. the nose and when the out-breath like touches the nose. But I get confused a bit, and I'm not sure what to do or how to deal with the question which I should ask. I don't understand it.
The important thing is, we have a point of concentration. It is around the tip of the nose. We feel the breath going in,
yeah.
And we feel the breath going out. That is all what we need to know. Then we feel if the in-breath is long or if the in-breath is short, you know, if it is rough or if it is detailed. So, we don't look on the sensation, because that is a distraction. We want to get to the knowingness, because once the breath becomes really fine, we don't feel it anymore, because, I mean, it is so fine that not even your hairs, you know, in the nostrils, you know, will move anymore, so you don't feel any more sensation. But the knowingness of that the breath goes in and the breath goes out becomes much, much stronger and much more predominant, yeah? So we focus more on the knowingness of the breath than on the sensation of the breath. Okay?
No.
No.
Like now when I try to try to figure out like why I don't understand it, and then I try to see what is it that I know when I know about the breath.
Yeah.
When I look at myself, I know, or I think I know the sensation of the, you know, the touch. But when I just know the breath, I know the breath because it touches my nose somewhere, right? So I'm a bit confused, like how can I know breathing without knowing the feeling of the breath touching? I'm confused about that, I'm stuck there.
You also know when you have a thought? Can you see the thought? Can you feel the thought? You know when you have a memory? You cannot feel the memory, you cannot see the memory. But you know that there's a memory. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The yeah. Knowing nature, it is so important, you know. I mean, samadhi should lead us to the knowing nature of the citta, who knows whatever is happening, knows that there's a feeling arising. So, I mean, in the beginning, we use this, you know, I mean, it is a crutch, yeah? If you understand the crux, you know, I mean, we hold on to something, we hold on to the feeling, you know, of the breath going in and breath going out, yeah. But this grudge, you know, I mean, the more we get concentrated, this grudge is not working anymore. So, I mean, and it will lead us much more to the knowingness, yeah. So what you can do in the beginning is, yeah, I mean, if you stay with the breath, yeah, if the Buddha does not work, yeah, I mean, then use the Buddha with breathing in and do with breathing out. Can you do that?
Yeah, for that one it is okay. It works fine for me.
What? That doesn't?
No, for that one it's okay. It works fine for me.
Yeah? So? Yeah, use it. Yeah? The thing is, with the breath, in the beginning you can also use, you know, in order to come more to the knowingness, you label it, you know, when you feel it is in-breath, then you put a label on it, in-breath. When it is out-breath, you put a label on it, out-breath, yeah? And when you feel it is long, then you put long, and when it is short, you know, it's short. When it is rough, you put the label on rough, you know, and when it is detailed, you put the label on detail. That leads to the knowingness, because the association that comes out, the rough or in-breath, out-breath, comes from the citta that knows, yeah? So in the beginning it helps us getting a little bit more to the knowingness, yeah? But then in the end, you know, I mean, if our concentration is strong enough, then these labels are completely confusing and we should let them go, yeah? So that is one thing you can do, yeah? To come a little bit closer to the knowingness of the breath. But you support the breathing in and out, breathing out, you know, until you get so concentrated that it is difficult to concentrate on two things, yeah? And then whatever, you know, whatever falls off, you know, stay with whatever, you know, stays on. Okay?
Yeah, for that one I can do, and then the Buddha goes away and I stay with the breath. But then Okay. Eventually I go out because I start to think, like, what is it that I, you know, it gets subtle, and then I'm out. Because I'm
your in, lost your interest.
To think of what I do and and what is it that then I try to stop the questions which you advised me, and then I'm confused and I get up. That is where the problem lies.
Then try not, you know, if the Buddha falls away, you know, then just stay with the breath, don't go to the question. The questions are only, you know, in the beginning to help us get into the knowingness of the breath. Once we know the breath, we don't need questions. The question that I gave you is, you know, to put your interest onto certain aspects, yeah? It's not the question that you should ask yourself. Yeah. Know when the in-breath switches to the out-breath. Know when the breath, you know, out-breath switches to the in-breath. Know when the in-breath is long or short or rough or detailed or subtle, yeah? You shouldn't ask yourself these questions, yeah? When you do samadhi, because that, you know, of course flips you out instantly. Try it out, you know. Yeah, try it out, you know. Just then, stay with the breath, you know, and see what is happening there. But I'm sure that you will lose the breath, you know, and then go into thinking, yeah, about something else, because you lose your interest, yeah. The questions that I gave you is to spur your interest into looking much closer onto the breath, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I listen to it again and not. What is it about leaving? I think I missed that you're going to not do the Zoom sessions anymore, or?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I mean, I know that I want to leave, you know, and recuperate, you know, myself, or reinvigorate myself, yeah. That's all what I know. About the details, I don't know anything yet. When I go or where I go, yeah, I don't know yet. There might be, you know, I mean, there might be some Zoom sessions, you know, but, you know, I mean, that will be, yeah, a talk, yeah. So don't worry, yeah. I don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's people, I guess, but for me,
If the people constantly, you know, squeeze you like a lemon, you know, I mean, sooner or later, I mean, you will not have any more energy there. And if you have to look after all the things, you know, you won't have any energy any left. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you for your time this time again.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, next, Sunny, next.
Yeah, there are several questions on the chat. So, there's a question on the third precept of sexual misconduct. So, it listed quite a number of quite specific examples. But maybe, Rupal, could you just explain about the third precept of sexual misconduct?
If the sexual misconduct is, you know, using somebody because of his position or because of his power, because of his money for one's own pleasure, yeah? For one's own sexual pleasure. Yeah? That means, you know, within a relationship, you know, sex is okay, yeah? But, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, and then you are going outside of the relationship, if you're married, you know, and then you have a, you know, then you go to another place, have another woman, that is sexual misconduct, yeah? Then the other thing, you know, that is one of the main parts. But the other thing is, you know, if you are the CEO of a company and if you have a secretary or, you know, you're a female CEO and have a male secretary or a male employee and use him, yeah, because of your power, he will be more likely, you know, to give in to your sexual fantasies, yeah. That is sexual misconduct. A student, yeah, a teacher with a student, yeah. Sexual misconduct, a parent, you know, with a child, sexual, with his own child or with other children, sexual misconduct, yeah. I don't understand what is so difficult about that.
I think that answers most of it. But, so in some places where having more than one wife is okay.
No, it's not okay. I know, because the Muslims, you know, the Muslims came, you know, southern part of Thailand, there are Muslims, you know, and they came, you know, with their wives, you know, and came to see Lungta Mahabor, and then, you know, they asked the same question, it is okay, in our religion it's okay, you know, to have several wives, yeah, and then Lungta, you know, said, you know, I mean, he looked at the wives, you know, and they were not happy about that, you know, so, I mean, they suffer, yeah. And that's why it is sexual misconduct. No matter what your religion says, you know, it is not okay. One man, one wife, yeah? And look, I said it very, very clearly, you know, I mean, shockingly clearly. He said, you know, one man, yeah, has one penis and one woman has one vagina. So he can only have one, yeah? If he, as a man, if he is a Muslim and has four, penises, yeah? Then he can have four wives. Shockingly clear, yeah? One man, one woman. That's it. No matter what our religion says, yeah?
I think that covers most of the questions we had. Then there's another question on the chat.
Yeah.
Hello, good to see you. My question is how to sit longer, because after sitting for 30 minutes, the pain gets started and feels restless. And then I try to change the legs. Again, I start to sit a few more times. So how to practice to sit longer?
The investigation of pain that I discussed so long, yeah? Do investigation of pain, you know, I mean, just now, And what is happening? The moment you change your legs, you can sit for another 2 or 3 minutes, then you have to change your legs again, then you sit for 1 minute, you know, and in the end you will get up. Don't change your legs. Investigate pain. What is pain? Accept pain. Yeah? There is pain. It's not me. It's not me. I'm in pain. Yeah? The moment you say, I'm in pain, you're finished. Yeah? And then, yeah, I mean, if the pain is too much, then get up and realize that the pain is gone. Huh? What kind of pain is that? Huh? If I have a physical pain, yeah, I mean, a woman just, you know, I mean, having a child, you know, She knows what physical pain is, you know. And that is not going away, you know, if I get up, you know, or lie down, you know, or do this or do that. Yeah? That is physical pain, you know, if somebody, you know, cuts your arm with a knife, that is physical pain. But we can also investigate this kind of pain. But the pain that comes through samadhi, you know, is a different kind of pain, it's magic. Yeah? So that's why we should investigate it.
So it's not a question, but it's wrong. It's just a comment. It's from Claudia. So no question at the moment, but I want to express my gratitude for Tan Ajahn Martin for still teaching. I've met Ajahn Martin many years ago in a German monastery, and I still have his advice in my mind. He gave us, before we started meditation, give your citta a rest. Give your citta a rest. This advice is still useful for me. Then I was on the verge to change from Mahayana to Theravada, and I did my decision. Glad to be here today to see Ajahn Martin after all those years again.
In Germany. Okay. Happy for you.
Do beings in hell know their torment is temporary?
Being in hell, everything is temporary. Everything is anicca, anatta, dukkha. Hell is also anicca, anatta, dukkha. Yeah? The torment is, of course, it is temporary. Yeah? But it can last for a very long time. Yeah?
Questions: do the beings in hell know their torment
of course.
Temporary?
Yes. I mean, they cry, you know. I mean, when you go, you know, when you go close to hell, I mean, you hear their cries, you know. I mean, how can they not be in pain? Yeah?
No, the question is, do the beings in hell know that their torment is temporary? Like, do they know I only have 200,000 years?
No. No. I mean, just like we, we assume that, you know, I mean, our life is not eternal, yeah? No, for them it is, you know, it is very momentary torment and torment and torment until it is over. Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
What is considered idle chatter? Is it when we talk to inflate our ego or have some kind of wrong intention in what we say? We're asking, what job are you doing, or what is the name of your daughter, or other simple questions to get to know someone? If the intention behind a joke is simply to make someone laugh, is it also considered idle chatter?
I would say yes. What is the purpose, you know? I mean, for instance, you know, can you pass me the salt? It's not idle chatter, yeah? Or can you find me, you know, a sister, you know, or can you tell me the way, you know, to this monastery? It is not idle chatter. But everything, you know, why are we asking this? Huh? Why are we asking this question, or why do we make these jokes, yeah? I mean, white lies are also, you know, white lies are not okay, you know, it's breaking the precepts, yeah? So, I mean, to comfort somebody with something, you know, that is not true, yeah? And idle chatter, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, said, you know, it's animal talk, yeah? When some of his bhikkhus, you know, I mean, conversed about this, you know, discussed this and that, yeah. I mean, if you discuss dhamma, that is different, yeah. I mean, that is okay, yeah. Okay-ish, yeah. But everything else, you know, he called out the bhikkhus and said, you engage in animal talk, yeah. I mean, that is idle chatter. Yeah? It doesn't bring us anything, yeah. If you ask a question, you know, I mean, how do I get into samadhi? That is not idle chatter, yeah? Okay?
Can you give more examples about what is a compliment about worldly things and what is a compliment about spiritual things?
A compliment about worldly things? What? Yeah. Why do you want to compliment somebody? You want to inflate his ego. Yeah, I mean, that is what compliment normally does, yeah? Oh, your spiritual practice is good, you know, yeah? King Mahabua never said that, yeah? I mean, he only pointed out faults that we have, yeah? A compliment was when you asked him a question and he smiled, yeah? That was a compliment. I don't see any purpose, you know, giving somebody, you know, compliment. You're doing good, yeah? I mean, if somebody asks, am I on the right path, you know, and said, yes, you're on the right path, you know, that is not a compliment. Yeah. Or if my practice is going in the right direction, yes, yeah. But, you know, I mean, telling somebody, oh, you are so good, you know, oh, you reach now Sotapanna, you know, oh, Sakadagami, oh, Anagami, you know, what a lot of teachers are doing, you know, that is wrong, yeah? And the Mahabho never said that, yeah? Okay, no.
Okay. Returning customer?
Returning customer.
My father doesn't want me to ordain. Is there some hidden karma I cannot see that is preventing me from ordaining? Can donating robes to Buddhist monks help me? Thank you.
Anything, you know, anything of generosity can help you. Anything of, you know, anything of respect, you know, I mean, respect and gratitude, these things, you know, they might be preventing him, but, you know, I mean, it's not really preventing him. The kilesas are preventing him from ordaining. Yeah? They are afraid of something, you know, and he can look into the fear, yeah? I mean, there's nobody exempt, you know? Yeah? Anybody who really wants to ordain can ordain. Yeah? So, I don't see any problems, yeah? Except for the kilesas trying to make all excuses. I mean, the most common excuse here in Thailand is, I don't have enough merit to ordain, yeah? No, that's an excuse, yeah? It is, you know, just not wanting to. Or, yeah, the excuse of the Westerners, yeah, that I heard so often, I cannot get into samadhi. It's an excuse, you know? It's not true. Of course, everybody can get into samadhi. Yeah? Now, hardly anybody can get into the jhanas, but everybody can get into samadhi. So it is an excuse, yeah? Because it is so difficult, yeah? I mean, ordaining as a monk is difficult. Yeah? Next. That was all? So, you have any question? More questions coming up?
Anyone else with questions? Can I make yourself?
Good luck to you, yeah? And keep up.
No questions.
What?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, no more questions on that.
Okay. So, keep up, you know, grind down on the kilesas, you know. Buddha. No, when you do samatha, no. As long as you're with the breath, you're on the right path. As long as you're with the Buddha, you're on the right path, yeah. If you deviate from the Buddha or deviate from the breath, then samatha is going in the wrong direction, yeah. No matter how the breath is or how the Buddha is, as long as you know there's a Buddha, there's a breath, you're on the right path to samatha. Yeah? And vipassana is about, you know, in asking the right questions about what we are seeing, what we are concentrating on. When we concentrate on the whole body, then we ask the question, huh? How is this body born? How does it get old? Yeah? Show me, how this body dies, yeah? And then the citta, you know, if we calm enough, then the citta will show us the process of birth and death. Right? Yeah. That is investigation. Or show me the heart, or show me the interaction between the heart and the lung. Yeah, and then you concentrate on that, you know, and the citta will show you. Yeah, but it takes a lot of practice, and especially it takes a lot of samatha. Yeah? Takes a lot of concentration, the power of concentration. If you concentrate on something, we can see it, yeah? Just like when you look, you know, when you look out there, you know, in the forest, you know, and you look at the wild animals, you know, I mean, you see what they are doing. Nobody needs to tell you what they are doing. Yeah? Okay? And practice in the morning before you go to work, and when you come back from work, you know, practice again, yeah? Practice, mostly practice samatha, And then after when you come back home, after the samatha, you go through your day, daily reflection, and don't judge, just know, what did I think, what did I, what was the feeling, or what was my action, and then go to the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, And if you can't remember, then skip it, to the next moment you remember, that's it. That is hard work, but it gives us a view of our life, what we are doing, why we are doing the things that we are doing, And if they are wholesome or not wholesome, Lying on the bed. I need to relax, What you need to relax, the kilesas don't want to be pressured in, That's why they don't like that, I want to relax, I need to relax, I want to let my mind wander. I mean, your mind has wandered all over, from the beginning of your birth, until today, it has wandered all around, So focus in on to one thing, so it doesn't wander. Okay? Are there any questions here from the audience? If not, then we close the session, Till the next time, whenever it is.
Thank you for quality. That's okay, respectful and comfortable.